Right, you could be sitting in the Hall of Fame and the world would know your name. Good evening and welcome to Personality Profile here on Joy 99.7 FM. I'm Lexus Bill and I so look forward to Thursday evenings because, you know, we get to have very good conversations, interesting conversations with people who are doing amazing stuff here in Ghana. And tonight I have one such guest for you. Yeah, you're going to enjoy this. So first of all, tell a friend to tune into Joy FM. If you're on Facebook, you're probably on your phone. You can get onto our Facebook page and check out our live video or YouTube as well. You can listen in to this very enthralling conversation we're about to have here in the next hour on your superstation. I'm Lexus Bill. Like I mentioned earlier, this evening I'm spending time with a very, very industrious woman, a woman who manages one of probably the most vibrant educational brands here in Ghana. Yeah. In fact, her event is on every high school's calendar every year and also on the lips of many Ghanaians, including me, and you get to understand why I so love it. Yeah, everybody who loves to see their high school triumphs loves this brand. Now, the National Science and Maths Quiz, the NSMQ, it has seen very immense enthusiasm from the whole country in recent years, owing largely to the innovation and professionalism of the team that puts it together. It's the most talked about event anytime it's in season, and probably the most viewed, the most followed, you know, probably the biggest thing that carries the sentiments of both the young and old. For many years, my school, the great Presec Legon, has been the star of the show. Yeah. I mean, this year we're denied, but next year, Adonai will make sure it happens. Now, Prime Time Limited is a communications company that offers services such as advertising, campaign, marketing, communication planning, public relations, multimedia productions, and market research. And the managing director and the team lead is my guest on Personality Profile tonight. Yes, she has over 15 years of experience in planning and executing communication campaigns and has spent 12 of these years as lead consultant for the National Science and Maths Quiz. Since 2013, she's brought a lot of innovation and excitement to the NSMQ, for which she's the executive producer. She has also extended the popularity and relevance of the program, giving it a strong social media presence. She has also spearheaded the creation of the STEM Festival, which we'll talk about. It aims to promote the study of STEM in our schools with emphasis on practical applications, educate Ghanaians on various careers in STEM, as well as give Ghanaian youth the opportunity to explore and showcase their innovative ideas. Under her stewardship, the NSMQ has received several prestigious awards. I mean, I can go on and on and on. CIMG, Marketing Performance Awards, TV Program of the Year, Advertising Association of Ghana, the Gong Gong Awards, the AAG Awards. I mean, lots of it, and deservedly so. Apart from the NSMQ, she has spearheaded a number of educational programs and public education campaigns, insurance education outreach to tertiary schools in Ghana, the National Insurance Debate, the 10 Science Oil and Gas Quiz, the Center for Distance Learning and Opening Schools, Sindlo's production of mathematics teaching program, in fact, a lot. In recognition of her work and excellence as well, she has received some very prestigious awards: the 2020 Millennium Excellence Foundation President's Outstanding Youth Prize for Excellence in Education, Ghana Woman of Excellence Awards in 2024, that's in March earlier this year. And just a few weeks ago, she was actually adjudged the Marketing Woman of the Year 2023 at the 35th Chartered Institute of Marketing Ghana, CIMG, National Marketing Performance Awards. My brepo. I mean, she's done well. My guest, Nana Ekia Abuajua Mensa Bonsu, is my guest. Hello, Nana.
Hello.
I like the smile on your face. Oh, my goodness. I want to be you. Look at that. You've done a lot. Girl, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How does it feel? Especially the CIMG Marketing Woman of the Year. That's a big deal.
It's a really big deal. And surreal. Still surreal.
Yeah. Did you see it coming?
No. I must be honest that I didn't, especially because, it was my team that decided to apply for it and they didn't tell me.
Oh, they applied on your behalf.
They
okay.
Did.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know about it until I was informed that I had won it.
Wow.
So
that must be nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice of them.
But when you look back, what do you think got you there?
If
you think through it.
There's been a lot of hard work and a lot of strategic planning and you know, just trying hard to improve on our performance every year with the way we run the program. And so trying to satisfy all our, you know, stakeholders.
Right.
And the expectations of the program, trying to improve on the experience of the participants year in and year out, and, you know, making a little more noise about it so yeah. that everybody would also hear about it. I mean, there's a lot that's gone into the program, the NSMQ especially, yeah. over the years. And our main thing is to, you know, each year improve on yes. what we do. Yes. So we're always looking for ways of improving. The improvement, I mean, when I turned 21, I think I got a card from a family friend, and it said the room for improvement is the largest room in the world.
Right.
And I truly believe that, because yeah. the improvement could be in so many different ways. There's so many different ways in which you can improve on it. And sometimes they are really little things, but they add on a lot.
Right.
For example, a few years back, we started getting a brass band to play the school anthems right. of the three schools at the finals.
Yeah.
It's a very little thing, but it's
art.
Yes, it does, because, I mean, as a contestant, it must be really exciting to stand up on stage and have the school hymn played
yes.
for you
yes.
and because of you.
Yeah.
And for the audience, wherever you are, I mean, if you went to that school, if you hear that song being played, you will sing along
right.
and, you know, it raises your morale
absolutely.
And the pride in your school and all of that. So sometimes the improvements are little things
yeah.
on the surface, but they have a deep impact. So we're always looking for
well
ways.
I need to also
things.
Congratulate you on this year's edition as well. I know you were busy, and when I get close, I see the amount of work that you all put in, the weeks yes. and months of, you know, running around the country, touring up and down, and even the grand finale is a spectacle on its own. Like, yes. there's so much work that goes into it. So, yes. I'm sure you now have earned some days off.
Well, we think so.
Even though the last time I spoke to you, you are now jumping to another one, STEMFest.
Yes, yes.
I'm like, didn't you just finish this NSMQ?
Well,
you know?
Yes. Yes, well, the STEM Festival is running right now.
It actually is on
running
right
now.
Okay.
Yes, so we are doing the mentorship session. So the mentorship part is a career guidance program. We bring people who are in different areas of, you know, STEM education, STEM related fields.
Yeah.
Well, today our guest is actually a writer. Mm. He writes, you know, sci-fi things.
Wow.
Like, and
that's cool.
Yes, stories. And so we have different kinds of careers
yeah.
coming together. We want to make sure that the Ghanaian child knows that when you study science or a STEM-related subject, you are not just going to be only a doctor. Like, your options are not just medicine or
yeah.
or one kind of engineering. There's a whole world of possibilities that are open to you because of the background that you have.
Okay.
So that's what the mentorship sessions of the STEM Festival does.
Okay.
And then we have the SciTech Fair and the SciTech Innovation Challenge. So that will be next week. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we'll have the SciTech Fair. That's an exhibition. And originally started as a complement to the quiz.
Mm.
Again, the thing about the improvements, you know, we got a lot of criticism that it's not practical enough. There's only so much you can do with a quiz.
Yeah.
Because you are dealing with time.
Mm-hmm.
And no one wants to go and sit for hours and watch you mix things or knock things up. And, you know, so a quiz is a quiz. You have to know what your limitations are with it. And then, so we created the SciTech Fair
yeah. okay.
so that students could bring their projects and exhibit them. So
okay.
there's an exhibition.
Okay.
And we have basic schools, 10 basic schools,
yeah.
10 senior high schools. We have some tertiary institutions.
Okay.
And then we have some tech startups. We
okay.
give them that platform for free.
Cool. Good stuff.
But the most interesting thing about, at least as far as I'm concerned, about the SciTech Fair, the exhibition, is that we have what we call the experiential stand. And so any visitor to the fair can conduct a simple experiment under supervision.
Wow.
So we have different types of experiments for different age groups. So the little children, the 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, they'll be doing something like a test for starch, test for protein, because, you know, they like colors.
Okay. Yeah.
So the color change things are interesting to them. Then the older ones, we've done dissection of a frog, dissection of a rabbit. We've done virtual reality stuff, games.
Yeah.
And we've done, even for the children, 2 years ago when we had the STEM festival, the last STEM festival, we had children demonstrating non-Newtonian fluids using Ubleck. So non-Newtonian fluids, you know, fluids like,
no,
like
I don't
ketchup.
Know. I don't know.
So they
you
have
say you know. I mean,
so non-Newtonian fluids are not regular fluids. They have qualities like solids.
Okay.
Sometimes they are solid, sometimes they are liquid. It depends on the pressure. Like quicksand.
Okay.
You know, quicksand, when you're caught in quicksand, when you move, you sink.
Right.
When you stay put, then you rise up. Ketchup. When ketchup is sitting pretty, it behaves like it's a solid.
Right.
And when you try to pour, it won't pour.
Yeah.
But when you shake it, then it becomes liquid. Those are examples of non-Newtonian fluids. And some of the uses are for athletes, the shoes of athletes. They put them in the soles so that it serves as some kind of shock absorber.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you are dunking, you know, a ball, you are jumping up high, and then when you land, you are landing on cement because of the court. So the shoe is specialized for that to break.
To absorb the shock that you don't hurt your joints.
Your knees too much. Mm. Yes, exactly.
For a communication student, looks like this science is rubbing off you pretty well.
Well, you do learn on the job.
Well, so it's actually a good thing that I brought some chemistry and physics questions in here for our interview, because I mean I was wondering, okay, you see, but look we have to do it. You understand? You have to do it for your school.
I don't think my school will be very happy with the results.
No, don't be happy. We shall find out.
I'm not the best representative.
Anyway, but how was this year's quiz for you, the National Science and Maths quiz?
Oh, well, this year was well, every year that we move to a new place, it comes with its own vibe.
Okay.
Things are different everywhere, but it also comes with new challenges, right? And so we had a good mixture of both.
Yeah.
New challenges that we're not used to, because the environment is new and you have to adapt to suit. But I think that all in all, it went very well. And we're happy with how it turned out.
Didn't you miss seeing like the blue color in the audience in the finals? I mean, there was something missing, wasn't there? Wasn't there something missing? Didn't you miss seeing the Prosec, you know, uniform around, lurking around? Didn't you miss that?
The quiz is for everybody. So whoever wins.
So when you came and I saw blue in your outfit, I knew that you missed Prosec.
This is purely by accident. But blue is my favorite color.
Oh, so there you go. I mean,
so I've always, and I was in section blue when I was in primary school. I was one of the star athletes.
Section blue. You were an athlete.
Yes, I was.
And what event were you taking part in?
So in primary school up to JSS, well, all the way up, I was a sprinter, so I used to do 100 meters, 200 meters. I even tried 400 meters.
Oh, I see.
And then at Wesley Girls, I became a high jumper. So I actually went to Intercore and Super Zoo, and then you might not believe this, but my first year at Legon, I was third in high jump interhalls.
Are you serious? Wow.
I don't look it now, but yes.
We could have actually had an Olympic champion or Olympic medal from here.
Maybe, because I actually used to do the flop.
Okay.
So, yes, I
see.
Had technical training for that, so I used to do the first big flop.
You know, one of the things I actually wanted to find out was whether you ever took up tennis, because I know your dad was a tennis player.
Yes, but no, I didn't do
it. You didn't? No, I didn't. He didn't force you to get a racket and follow him to the tennis court?
No.
Oh, I see.
No. They played more for leisure.
Yeah.
And a little exercise. And they were a group of, we're friends, yeah. Camaraderie.
Yeah.
Rather than as a sport.
Right.
Really.
Okay. Yes. Okay. But how was growing up? I mean, with a father like that who... I mean, your family, guys. You need to actually explain it to everybody who's listening now, because I just realized you have a family that is so deep in academia, and it's no coincidence that everybody is doing something related to education. You know, you're the best person to be handling this NSFQ thing, because your family is all about academia. Tell us a bit about your family and growing up.
where do I start? So my father is Dr. Kweku Mensah-Bonsu. He started Prime Time and the National Science and Maths Quiz.
Right.
And my mother is Her Leadership Justice Professor Henrietta Mensah-Bonsu. And she spent most of her, the greater part of her working life as a lecturer at Legon.
Mm.
So that's the academia. Her parents were teachers.
They were also teachers.
Wow. And I was actually my dad's student at the School of Communication Studies. He taught me advertising.
You were in his class?
Yes, I was in his class.
Oh, boy. Did that story play out? You know how when your father is a teacher, they are literally very mean to you?
I was a good student. I was quiet. In fact, it took, I think it was almost up to the middle of the semester before my course mates found out that he was my dad, because I stayed in my corner. I asked questions only when I needed to ask questions.
Yeah.
I was quiet. But there was an incident once. I remember that I was late to his class.
Oh, dear.
And I miscalculated, because I knew he wasn't going to come early. But he got there before me. And then he told me, young lady, the next time you come late to my class, I'll march you out. I said, yes, sir. And then I went and sat quietly in my corner. And that was the last time I was late to his class.
I can totally relate. My mom was a teacher as well.
Oh, right.
At Rapid Preparatory in Abompe at the time. And you know, when we're much younger, they do inspection.
Right, yes.
They inspect whether you've combed your hair,
yes,
whether your nails are, overgrown, yes, and all, yes, of those things.
Yes.
You are my mother.
Yes.
I am only a kid. You watched me leave home with uncombed hair, and you get to school and you cane me.
Yes.
I'm not forgiving that woman.
But she was teaching you certain things.
Yeah.
Absolutely. First of all, not to take her being a teacher in your school for granted.
Yeah.
That you can't get a pass.
Absolutely.
Because,
yeah,
she's there.
Oh, I never did.
And that you had to do what everybody else was doing. In fact, what you're saying is, if my mom is listening, she'll be laughing, because she had a similar experience with her mom, who was her headmistress.
Oh, dear.
Yes. If she saw, on the way to school, she saw that my mom maybe hadn't combed her hair properly or wasn't wearing her belt, she would let her get down go home, and then they would leave.
Are you serious?
When she got to school, she would tell the head, the school prefect that Henrietta is late. She's on her way to school. And so when she got to school, of course, she'd be punished for that. But it taught her a big lesson, which I have also learned from. Mm. And which I also use in my work. The fact that you are close to somebody, whether it's a family relationship or a friendly relationship, does not mean that you should take advantage of the situation and misbehave.
Yeah.
After all, especially if it's in a job situation, as long as that job exists or that work exists, you won't have to go around looking for a job.
Yeah.
You have a job.
Yeah.
So you should be protecting it and not, undermining the authority of whoever is close to you and helping you or destroying things because, I know the boss.
I know the boss. Yeah. No, that's
And that's my attitude to it. So my cousins who have come and worked as production assistants on NSMQ or have interned with me, or they know that. I will tell you that I'll be harder on you than on anybody else.
Right.
Because it's important for you to recognize that you have to protect what we have.
Yeah.
And that it breaks team spirit, it breaks morale if you do whatever you like and you get away with it.
That's true. I totally agree. And that's a very wonderful lesson that you're sharing with us. If you're listening in and you have any questions or contributions, you might send us a WhatsApp message on 055-111-1997. If you're watching us on Facebook, you can put your comments as well in the comment section and I'd read it out. Right. Now, growing up around a family of academicians and people who are in academia, what kind of profession did you envision that probably when you grow up you'd be in?
To be honest, I didn't know. And so when people asked, I definitely knew I didn't want to be a doctor because I don't like the sight of blood.
Oh, dear.
And I don't like hospitals. So I knew, even as a little girl, that I never wanted to do anything on that side.
Yeah.
So whenever people ask, oh, what do you want to be? And then people say, doctor, I never said that. I didn't really know what to say. So I'd say lawyer because my mom was a lawyer and it made sense for me to say that. But as I grew up, I realized that I was strong when it came to languages. If I want to learn a language, I will.
Oh, okay.
And I realized also that I had, should I say, literary strengths on that side.
Okay.
Case in point, at I think I must have been about 8 or 9 years old, I directed a play.
You did?
Yes, I did. My sisters and then my cousins and I, we had a club. Fashioned along Enid Blyton's Secret Seven. So our club was called the 4½ Club.
Okay.
And we put together a play and had our uncles and aunties and some guests. I think it was Easter Monday, maybe 88 or 89.
Yeah.
We put up the play and we had a little accident along the way. My youngest sister decided that she didn't want to play her role anymore and we had to change the story. then I had to change the story and give it a new ending. So I started, you know, discovering these things and interests.
So you knew you were going to be in the literary arts, basically?
Well, I thought I'd be... No, I actually wanted to be a translator.
Oh, okay.
A multilingual translator. My first degree is in French and Spanish. So I thought I was going to be a translator and then my mom said, go and learn how our money is made.
Right.
But I think that the idea always was that I would be the one to go that way. I think of my siblings, my parents thought that I was the most suitable for a career in media and to take over from
your dad.
My dad, yes.
Because your younger sister is an associate professor at Ashasi. She's actually the head of the law and humanities.
Yes, she's setting up the law. Yes,
she's wonderful.
Yes,
I listened to her and I totally fell in love with her. That's Dr. Mami
Mensah Bosu. And then the other one is Mameya Mensah Bosu, and she is a lecturer at the School of Law at the University of Ghana.
Amazing.
Yes.
You've got a beautiful family.
Thank you.
Growing up with girls, it was an all-girls house.
Yes, it was.
I wonder how Brother Kweku would have felt.
Felt loved. Because, because we showered him with a lot of love. And we still do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a girl dad. And, you know, girls never really go away. I always say this. Girls never really go away. Somehow, they always come back home. They keep the links with home much better on average than boys do.
Yeah.
So, yes, he's very happy.
Okay, so you're
we're good.
You're done with Wesley Girls.
Yes.
You now go to Lagon.
Yes.
To study humanities.
Yes.
Yeah, and then afterwards, was it right after that you came to take over from Dad?
No. So after that, I did my national service. I actually did. This interesting little fact. I volunteered to teach at Wesley Girls for 2 months after school. That was during the Nagrat strike. And the headmistress went around looking for old girls who were leaving school, as in university, to come do their national service there. And I couldn't do national service there because my service had already been worked out. I was doing a program on the French embassy. There's a French embassy organized program where we were teaching functional French, so professional French in state institutions. So I was at with the police. Okay. So I was at the CID headquarters. We were putting together the teaching materials for teaching professional French. So teaching policemen how to say good morning, good, you know, bonjour, and to introduce themselves to a superior, to a new person, to arrest someone who has done something, you know, professional French, the kind of French they'd need to know to be able to function in their jobs. And so after that, I went to the School of Communication Studies. That's when I became my dad's student.
Okay, yeah.
And then after that, right after that, in fact, I didn't even submit my thesis. I did my work on my thesis in the U.S. In Ohio University, where I did a Master of Arts in International Affairs and MAIA in Communication and Development Studies.
Okay.
And with I also did a graduate certificate in health communication, African community. Yes. So I did those two back to back.
Wow.
It was crazy. It was crazy. Because I had to do, can you imagine carrying 18 credit hours over there, having to do some work because you have to, your scholarship, because I was a graduate assistant, and then all your assignments and the papers you have to write, and on top of that, you are doing, you're writing your thesis for another master's.
That's
it adults. Was crazy.
Yeah.
I was doing things like 24 hours no sleep, 5 minutes of sleep.
Wow.
26 hours, 30 minutes of sleep, especially when it was time for finals, because at that time, Ohio University was running the quarter system. So you had to do three quarters. So in 10 weeks, you are done. A quarter is done.
Mm.
So it was crazy.
I can imagine. So when you were done, you came back.
Yes.
Immediately.
Immediately.
So it means that you were in on the succession plan.
Yes, I was. That was the plan.
Okay.
But I also knew from a very, I mean, very long time ago that I didn't want to live abroad.
Okay.
I didn't like the cold. And Ohio was pretty cold.
Okay.
I didn't like the cold. I didn't like the loneliness, individualism.
Yeah.
Yes, I was lonely. When I did my year abroad in France, and when I was lonely, I didn't want to live out abroad. I also had allergies. Oh my goodness! seasonal allergies. When I first went to America, and then I saw them, putting up signs for shots, flu shots. I said, America for Peyario, America for everything is some kind of illness that needs some kind of medicine and so on, until the middle of the quarter. And then I realized that
you need it.
I needed
you need
it.
Those shots too.
Oh my goodness. And they said it was too late. I had to wait it out and try the next season. I actually suffered from hay fever.
Okay.
In my second year. So I actually missed my graduation.
Oh.
Yes. I was there. I walked. I had enough credits to walk. And my parents were coming. I had enough credits to walk. But I missed my my defense.
Mm.
At that time, well, Skype wasn't. But, you know, this is 2009. So it's not like now where you can do these things by Zoom and stuff like that. So I missed my defense. But I couldn't step outside the house.
Okay.
The hay fever was so terrible. I couldn't, for 2 weeks, I was holed inside my house. So I missed it and I had to take an extra quarter to finish it up and and then come home. But I came home as soon as I was done.
And then straight into prime time.
My dad promised me a month of rest. Give me 2 weeks and then called me to work.
So the brand NSMQ has, you've been close to it since infancy. I can say. You know it in, out, inside out, basically.
Yes.
But coming in and eventually taking over as the managing director of Primetime, what was your vision for it?
All right. So I always say that I grew up on the quiz, and because I used to go and watch after school, especially when it was at Presec and then at, you know, Achimota, I used to go and watch after school, and then from then, after SSS, at that time, we used to wait 2 years to go to university. There was always, like, I think there was a backlog of 2 years, two batches, waiting to get into university. So during that time, I interned at Primetime. So from January of 99 till, I think, July of 2000, I was an intern, and I worked in each of the departments.
Okay.
But my longest stay was with client service, and I was a production assistant on not just the NSMQ then, but also the other programs, Kiddie Quiz and all of the other programs that we had. So part of my responsibilities revolved around getting, you know, helping the quiz mistress out. That was Professor Marianne Iramadi. She was the quiz mistress at that time. So I used to help her with her clothes, with her makeup. I used to powder the, make the students up to go up on stage.
Yeah.
I used to help with the crew's food,
yeah,
make sure everything was all right. You know those errands that production assistants run. So when I came back, first I had to get reacquainted with the program because I'd been away for years.
Yeah.
And then once I started running the program, I was able to I should say the learning curve was much shorter.
Okay.
Is that the right expression? Yeah. I guess so. For me, because I haven't had that experience on the program already, I had a good idea what it was about, what to do, things to improve immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first things I did was to get the quiz mistress, Prof. Elsie Ifa Kaufman, one of the first things I did was to get her a room to be able to change and rest in between contests. I gave her production assistants to iron her clothes and set them out. So we select the clothes.
Okay.
And then I got a lady who did beads and other, you know, trinkets, accessories. I'd go get them myself, and then we would match the accessories with the clothes and set them out.
It's interesting for him. So it's because I think that over the past couple of years, she's become like a fashion icon as well. I mean, I personally look forward to her pictures of her African clothes and fabric just before the quiz. And it's like, yo, your Christmas is ready. And I'm like, oh my goodness, look at that outfit.
Right.
You know?
There's a whole team behind that. There's a whole team behind that. So it was one of the first things that I did, because having helped Prof. Rama Adi with her clothes and her makeup and stuff, I kind of knew immediately when I came, I was like, oh no, this thing needs some improvement here. Let's do this.
Okay.
Let's do that. I also tried to add on a few other things. Since 2013, we do a survey every year.
Oh, okay.
So that we find out what the participants,
what
they think of the program, how we can improve on things.
And I think that digitally as well, you've been able to get it very loud on social media. It's like a whole frenzy throughout the 1 month period when the finals is on. Like you're literally trending all the time.
Yes.
And you've been able to get some very savvy admins who are always mocking Prosec.
Oh, we troll all the schools.
You troll everybody. Yeah.
We troll all the schools.
So that's really one of the things that I see that, you know, I need to say kudos to you and the team for.
Thank you.
Now, what impact do you think it's had on the education in Ghana?
Well, we have, even though we haven't done an empirical study, we do have some a lot of instances that we can mention. There are a number of schools who have told us that they didn't have science departments before, but through the quiz, they were able to set up science departments and to compete. We've had a number of so many students that we've been able to get scholarships for, some of them that we paid for ourselves.
Okay.
Um, we've getting the old students involved in the schools and getting them to, you know, indirectly through the quiz to invest in their schools.
Yes.
That alone is a big deal.
Yeah.
Was you're a pre-second. You know how your school
how we're always very supportive. How do of it, the
yes. Boys. And it's a joy to see, you know, the old students take such pride in their schools and invest heavily in their, not just their teams, but in science education in their schools. Yeah.
I need to say kudos to our global president, Dr. Ernesto Furisapo. He's actually led and helped and galvanized, you know, the Odadia fraternity to support the school in so many ways, and probably one of the reasons why Presec has been doing well. In fact, I actually wanted to find out from you as well, since you work closely with all these senior high schools. I mean, Presec has won the competition a record 8 times.
Yes.
Premier 5 times, baby.
Yes.
Is there a secret to the success of schools like Presec, Premier, and those who keep ending up in the finals? I mean, people wonder, what is it? Is it a preparation? What exactly do they do differently?
I always say that it's about preparation, because the quiz is such that it demands a lot from the contestants. And so you have to prepare properly.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to start early.
Okay.
And then the preparation, take them through a lot of tests and make sure that they read wide.
Mm-hmm.
They go in deep, because as the competition goes on, as you go through the stages, the questions increase, not only in number, but also in difficulty.
Okay.
And so you find that sometimes people will complain and say, oh, but these questions are above SSS. But that is actually what shows that you are really on top of things and you're the champion, right? So you find that in the schools that do very well, they have institutionalized the preparation for the competition. In many of the schools, they do the selection of the students from sometimes even from Form 1.
Form 1,
they have a team. Yeah. Form 2, they have lots of quizzes. They write lots of exams. I hear even in Presec, Saturday Entertainment, sometimes you have the quiz
as entertainment.
So it's all about the preparation and the resources.
Yeah.
To be able to get the team to study hard, study well. In some of these schools, I hear that they even have a club, a Brilla club.
Okay.
And they don't do housework.
Oh,
they,
I see.
Yes.
They're exempted from
housework. They get they have special privileges, special meals.
Ooh.
They kind of have a program that is very intensive.
Okay.
A little separate from what everybody else
I see.
Has.
That's interesting.
It's the preparation. I always say that the quiz is such that, I mean, anybody can win it.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot to do with the preparation.
I know you're all about women empowerment as well.
Yes.
You love the girls. Yes. You inspire a lot of women out there. But we've observed that no girls' school
mm-hmm.
has been able to win this competition since its inception.
Right.
Is there a gender barrier to the success of students at the NSMQ?
I wouldn't say so. I think that the girls have special challenges, yes, but I wouldn't say that there's a gender barrier, because I don't believe that girls are not competitive.
Mm.
I don't believe that's it. That the boys are competitive and aggressive and the girls are not competitive. I don't believe that. There are a number of issues. Some of them are, yes, pertaining to the girls. And let me break it down here. First of all, you have a situation where in the girls' schools, a lot of the time, they just wait till the last minute, really. I've been asking, even for Wesley girls, I've been asking about when do they start the preparation. And I think last year's team, their team that's the 2023 team, was the first team that was selected from Form 2.
Okay.
So if you are waiting until mock to select your team, then you're already far behind everybody else. I always say that the girls who get to the semifinals, they are champion material without adequate training.
Okay.
Because, first of all, you are selecting your team really late. Mm-hmm. By the time you are selecting your team after mock, really, even those who are competing in the regional qualifiers would have competed already. Not only selected their team and trained them, they would have competed already. So you are already behind everybody else. Then you also have this difficulty where most of the science teachers are male.
Okay.
And no parent would be happy to hear that their teenage daughter is in a class with a male teacher at 1 a.m., you know, studying for the quiz or in the lab at, you know, 1 a.m. But in the boys' schools, they pretty much study all through the night if they want. If they can, they do that. So so you already have fewer contact hours.
Okay.
And so if you're choosing the team or selecting your contestants late, then you are, like I said, really far behind. And then you also have other issues like, sometimes the aggressiveness of the audience or the, you know, there has to be greater psychological support for the contestants.
So they get intimidated a little bit.
Sometimes the contest, and I'm not talking just about the girls, sometimes the contest is won or lost before they go up on stage.
Oh.
Because if you hear the name of the school and you are frightened, you are already, on the losing side.
Lost.
Yes, you're already beaten.
Okay.
And even though we provide a team of psychologists to work with the schools during the competition, it's only that deep because really, during the competition, how much work can they do to support the students?
Okay.
If nothing has been done at all for them, then it's not enough to build them up psychologically, mentally, to make them strong enough to beat everybody.
Yeah. You know,
I would recommend that the schools pay attention to the psychological, the psychological strength of their contestants, and work on that at the school as part, an integral part of their preparation.
Yeah.
So that when they come on location and we also give support with our psychologists, then they'll be fine.
Okay. Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So hopefully next year we want to see Wesley Girls and Holy Child in the finals so that we can take our ninth. Anyway, so
I thought you were going to say that so that they would win.
So a couple of months ago, I actually saw a video of a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you chanced on it as well. I think she was a student of an insane SHS.
Yes.
Leveling some criticism against the National Science and Maths quiz.
Yes.
I think her name was Rich Love. I followed that keenly because it actually generated a certain kind of debate.
Mm.
Now, the assumption was that most of the students who, you know, make it up on stage are biologically smart. And because, you know, the smart students will always go for the big schools, that's probably why maybe some of the lesser known schools are not making it that far in the National Science and Maths competition. What do you say to that?
I disagree on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
While it's true that the students are already top students, the teachers will tell you it's not always your top students who will come, who can do the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes they would freeze under pressure.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not the top student who comes, it's the one who can think and who can work under pressure, that kind of pressure, with the cameras and the lights and the audience and everybody in front of you. So I disagree. She was saying a lot of, like, is that the students are already good, and that's what the teachers do, a lot of work. I thought that her submission didn't do justice to the teachers. The teachers put in a lot of work, a lot of work, because the students are, call them raw materials,
right?
Good quality materials, but without sharpening and polishing, you are not going to get good results. And the teachers themselves will tell you that the training for the quiz is different from the training for the WASI.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the academics. You have to be really strong. You know, you have to do a lot of reading, researching, learning all sorts of things. But there's also a kind of game element to the competition. You have to be able to know when to take a risk.
Yeah.
When to hold back.
Right.
I think of it as in terms of, you know, Kenny Rogers' song, The Gambler.
The Gambler.
You have to know when to hold.
When to hold.
Yes.
Yeah, I get that. Okay.
And if you're not able to make those judgments,
you'll not be able to
then
succeed.
you won't do well.
Good stuff.
But a lot of things go into the preparation of the students for the competition. Yeah. So and a lot of good has come out from that. You have students who have been identified, you know, their talents been identified, and they've been assisted to get scholarships into all sorts of prestigious
institutions.
Yes, we have so many former contestants in big positions everywhere. We even have a quiz mistress who is a former contestant, Dr. Anita Champong.
Okay.
Dr. Anita Champong.
Yeah.
She's one of our quiz mistresses, and she was on the 2005 Ghana National College team. So
Beautiful.
She was a contestant.
Wow.
So That's there's amazing. A lot of good that has come out of it.
What's the biggest learning for you all through these years from the quiz?
Oh, wow. There's always a lot to learn, and every year is different. Every year has
So this
own.
Year, which one sticks out for you? Probably what comes to mind?
Wow, that's a lot to take in. I guess I'm not even sure where to approach it from.
Yeah.
There's so much that we've learned behind the scenes, and even with the schools. I think that one thing is clear that the competition is still very much alive. Mm. In the schools, because when you see the attention that the students, not even talking about the fans, just the schools themselves, the contestants, how important it is to their studies, their academic life in the school, for which reason the schools have institutionalized the process, the learning and the preparation process, it tells you that there's a lot of good that's happening there. It's supporting STEM education, and the more people are interested in the science around us and in learning science, the better it will be for the country. And that's also one of the reasons why the STEM Festival was introduced, so that there's a practical part of it. We have the SciTech Innovation Challenge, where the students build their projects up from scratch by themselves without their teachers.
Wow.
We are hoping that through that we'll be able to build in some years to come, we'll be able to build a pool of young innovators and
The STEM Festival is, you said it's still ongoing.
Yes.
Where is it happening?
So right now, the mentorship sessions are streamed live on all our social media channels. But
what's the handle for those who want to follow?
So we do it even on the NSMQ.
On the NSMQ channel as well.
Yes. So at NSMQ Ghana, and then STEM Festival.
Okay.
And then on YouTube, on Primetime Limited, the YouTube channel for Primetime Limited.
Okay.
And even for NSMQ.
Good
and then
stuff.
Next week, the SciTech Fair will be at the National Theatre.
Okay. Okay. What day?
Thursday, Friday, and
Saturday. Good
yes.
stuff. Look, if you're listening in, you need to go and see the amazing stuff that Primetime Limited are doing with the STEM Fest. Look, it's been great spending time with you. I'm so happy that I got to spend time and know a bit more about your journey and say congratulations again for winning the 2023 CIMG Marketing Woman of the Year.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you so much, Nana.
Thank you.
And
thank
I've bless. Had a good time. Thank you also for sending all the messages. If you missed any part of this conversation, it's live on our Facebook page. You can go check it out. I'm Lexus Bill, and I've been spending time with Nane Kiabwajwa Mensa Bunsu, the MD of Primetime Limited, here on Personality Profile. It's 8 o'clock. Let's find out what's happening in news.